God. Preach, my brother.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Muchas gracias. Qué bendición es poder estar aquí. I like to continue in Spanish, but I can't. It's really an honor for me to be here this morning. I stand here in the presence of the Lord, just blessed. 32 years I was here. I sat up there somewhere, and I was blessed by the Lord. This was really an experience in my life. I consider it an honor for me this morning to be here after almost 30 years. And I prayed last night, Lord, give me something that that will bless the school, the students, the faculty. So I'm standing here, and I'm open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do this morning. I am married with Abigail, my wife of 36 years. I have three children. I am pastoring right now Iglesia El Calvario. If you ever go to Orlando, please look us up, Iglesia El Calvario. And really, I'm standing here and I'm a miracle. Part of my testimony is that I was born in the Bronx in New York City, but I was one of those students who fell between the cracks in the educational system. Because I hardly could speak well English, and I still struggle with it because most of my preaching is in Spanish. But I came really to CBC with a lot of difficulties in my language. But I had a heart in my heart. I had a hunger in my life, a thirst in my life. Once God got a hold of my life, I said, Lord, use me if you can. Do a miracle. I like to preach. I want to teach. And the Lord just brought me to CBC. And I just want to thank this school. I'm here to thank this school and to thank the Lord for having CBC. I praise the Lord for this wonderful ministry. Thank you, Dr. Dembo, for this opportunity that you give me today. I want to thank the professors, what they represent in the life of many students. And the staff and the administration. I was helped by everybody, believe me. When I came to CBC, I needed help from every area, from the finances down to the language, really. But I praise the Lord for this opportunity. CBC has been a blessing not only to my life, but to many students around the world. And I'm here to speak on their behalf and say thank you for this ministry. It took some years to understand. In my life, it took many years to understand that professors and staff were placed here by God to move us to a place of our purpose and our destiny. And I have learned that any circumstance, in any place, and in any job that you perform here at CBC, it could become a training camp for God. I worked in the cafeteria. How many cafeteria workers we have here? Let me tell you, God can do something in the cafeteria. I work weekends. I work the pots and pans. And I could tell you, come on, pots and pans. You know. And I remember in that little corner, because I used to work not only pots and pans, I worked weekends. Nobody wanted the weekends. And I was there in that little corner. And many times, while I was waiting for more pots to come, I would sit on a table and I would pray to the Lord and say, Lord, why am I here? I mean, you call me to ministry. Why am I in the pots and pans area? But you know, God has strange ways to work. And I remember those quiet corners of the cafeteria where God just began to deal with my life. I know that I don't have a whole lot of time, but I like to preach the way I preach in Orlando. Can you allow me that? To preach the way I preach. And I'm not going to preach in Spanish, definitely. But yeah. I like to say, at least to teach you a phrase. I'm pretty sure some of you have heard it before, but just say with me, Gloria a Dios. Glory to God. Gloria a Dios. So once in a while, just so that I could feel at home, once in a while, when I'm preaching, and if you feel that something just hit you as I speak, just shout to me, Gloria a Dios. Come on. Gloria a Dios. Gloria a Dios. Come on. Okay, you sound like a bunch of Puerto Ricans now. Come on. Gloria a Dios. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark. Book of Mark. And I want to read a few verses here. We're approaching Easter Sunday. We're approaching that special season in our calendar. And I like to teach or preach things that I've learned from this passage. How many believe that we can learn from a donkey? Come on. We can learn from a colt. So I just want to read this passage and just see what the Lord has for us. The word says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing that? Tell them the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered, as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. And we pray, Lord, that your blessings and your presence will come upon this place. Teach us those things that you and your Holy Spirit wants us to learn today. And we submit to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. My assignment this morning is not to debate any profound truth. My assignment is not to discuss no new theological trends. My assignment, I just want to be a pastor the way I do it in Orlando. I want to stir your faith up. My assignment is to inspire you and let you know that you can reach your level and the level that God has ordained for your life. And all God needs is your agreement to this. All you have to do is to agree with God in the level that he wants you to reach. Just so it could happen, all you need to do is to agree with his word. The title of this message, or the title of just this short reflection this morning, is Untie Me, My Destiny is Waiting. Untie Me, My Destiny is Waiting. I've learned that in order for you to enter into what God has ordained for your life, you might need some deliverance in some areas of your life. I am not saying that you are doing anything wrong. I'm not saying that you have sinned, etc., etc. What I am saying is that you and I operate as part of a church that moves in two dimensions, the natural and the spiritual. And many people ignore this truth. We are part of a church. We go in and out. The effect of our nature as a church is both spiritual and is also in the natural. I'm here to tell you that there are forces or entities in the spiritual realm that do not want you to operate, whose assignment is to detain you, to stop you, to hinder you from reaching your potential in God. Now, I like to hear a Gloria a Dios on that. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, there our struggle is not against flesh and blood. There might be something, you're here this morning, but there might be something within you. It could be fear, resentment, pride, holding you back, tying you down. So I'm here to tell you, if God has a call on your life, He has given you anointing. He has granted you with spiritual gifts and abilities, and you are not operating on your potential, then something might be tied up somewhere in your life. I am here because I know what it is to be locked up. I know what it is to be out of freedom. And not that I spent time in jail, but I do. I was a chaplain with the federal prison. I know what it is. As a matter of fact, I used to kid around with the inmates, and I used to tell them, listen, don't complain. You're doing 30 years, but I'm doing almost 10 hours with you every day. So I'm doing part of the time with you also. As a chaplain, I know what it is. But I can also tell you, in my upbringing in the Bronx, half of my cousins, because of the choosing of life, because of the situation that we lived, half of my cousins in the Bronx ended up in jail. And I know what it is. I know the effect of prison in a person's life or in a family life. But I also know the feeling of seeing prison gates open. As a chaplain, I remember that part of my duty as an inmate would be released the following day, especially in the federal prison, we would have to go with this inmate the day before and have the signature of every department head. In other words, he needed to be released from every department head, so I would walk with him in that process and have his card signed. I know the feeling. I know when that gate opened and see his face just joyful and happy after so many years in prison. I can tell you, people, I know what it is to be free in God because God delivered my life. He delivered my soul. He kept me out of many darkness places. I know what freedom is in relation to bondage. Today, I am here as an ambassador of Christ. Today, as a minister of the Lord, I come to you using that same illustration. I come to you as a sheriff with a warrant. As a sheriff with a warrant and a petition issued by the judge of glory, I have a petition. My assignment is today, through the word of the Lord, through the power of the word of God, my assignment is to arrest and lock up whatever is binding you and holding you back from your destiny. God wants to use you. God wants to move in your life. Don't believe anything back from that. God wants to use every student in this place for the kingdom and the glory of God. Hallelujah. Gloria a Dios. Gloria a Dios. I have an arrest warrant. In the spirit, I have an arrest warrant for every demon that is trying to stop you, for every obstacle that is trying to hinder you, for everything that is trying to tie you up and hold you back. My Lord says through his word, release them, loose them, untie them. Their destiny is waiting for them. Hallelujah. But in order to be free, we need to take some steps. The Bible teaches us. There are certain things here that happen. First of all, you have to acknowledge where you are. Verse 1, they were headed to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem really literally means possession of peace. Anytime you are headed to a place of peace, you will encounter some stuff along the way. Before they reach Jerusalem, they are at a crossroad. If you read verse 1 or verse 4, they were between two cities. The name of them was Bethphage and Bethany. Bethphage means unripe figs. Unripe. In other words, they're not ready yet. And Bethany means house of dates. It means the harvest has been stored. Now, this cult is tied up between two cities or two villages. My question this morning is, do you know where you are in regards to your purpose, in regards to your spiritual growth, in regards to your relationship with God? There are two definitions. Bethphage means unripe. Bethany means storehouse. You are at a crossroad of your destiny. You have the option this morning and throughout your ministry here at CBC, you have your option to see yourself either in the natural or the spiritual. In the natural, believe me, you will be tied up. In the natural, you will not give yourself too much potential. In the natural, probably nobody's going to believe in you. But if you look forward in walking into Bethany. Bethany means harvest time. You have the option today to say, well, I can't make it. I don't know if I'll graduate. I don't know if I can preach. Let me tell you, this person standing here this morning couldn't preach. Not even in Spanish could I preach. But the Lord took a hold of my life, and I could have stood right there in Bethphage and say, well, I'm unripe. I'm not ready. But in faith, I was looking forward to Bethany, meaning the storehouse is waiting. Hallelujah. My challenge this morning, move to the place of harvest. Move where there is fruits. There is a harvest waiting. There is a future waiting. There is a ministry waiting. The second thing you have to do is you have to admit your condition. In Mark chapter 2, Mark 11 verse 2 says that there was a colt tied up. Listen, when something is tied up, it is unable to perform its original function. You and I were created to bless, to advance, to grow. It doesn't matter what you were born to do. If it's tied up, you will never be able to do it. If God has anointed you, if He has put something in your life that has been designed to bless you and bless others, if it is not doing that, then I gotta say, something has it tied up. How many believe right here in this room that you were called to be a blessing? Come on, show some hands. You were called to be a blessing. You were called to bless other people. That the hand of God is in your life. That God has called you to work in ministry. But let me tell you, if it's not working the way God intended it to work, something has it tied up. So therefore, my assignment this morning through the word is to tell you, I demand your release. I demand your freedom. I demand and I call people to ministry today. I call you to the end of the world this morning. I call you to mission this morning. In the name of Jesus, be released in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Today is your day of release. If your ministry is held back, today is your day of release. If your gift has not been working, today is your day of deliverance. There might be some things tied up in your life. You're getting your education, but it's not working with regards to your character. Something is tied up. You're beautiful, you're handsome, but nobody recognizes you. Something is tied up. You're highly gifted, trained, skilled, but the doors are not opening for you. Something is tied up. The passage says that the colt was tied up. And believe me, his future was tied up. His purpose was tied up. Every time something is tied up in your life, it ties up your future. When you are tied up, you're like this colt, stuck on a road with two definitions. One is unripe. The other one is a store of harvest. Undecided. You can't move. I believe with all my heart. And this is what happened to me while I was in CBC. I will believe with all my heart that your presence here in this school has been ordained by God. How many believe that? I believe it. Your presence here in this school was sanctioned by God to release in your life the fruitful ministry that He is going to give you. And it's going to start here in this place. Hallelujah. The third thing you need to do, you have to face your opposition. Verse 3, Jesus told his disciple, as soon as you untie the colt, somebody is going to try to stop it. Somebody is going to serve as an obstacle. You have to face your opposition. And the Bible says that as soon as they were untying the colt, somebody asked, what y'all doing? What you doing? If it would have been in Spanish, ¿qué pasa? ¿Qué estás haciendo? What you doing? Why are you untying the colt? You're always going to find a position the closer you get to your destiny. Listen, you know how to discover that you're reaching almost your level? There's somebody in opposition to that. You're going to feel forces trying to restrain you. Let me tell you, don't hold back and don't give up. You're closer now than you ever was to the finish line. God wants to use you, but there's always going to be opposition. I'm here to tell you, stand firm, look forward, don't give up. Tell your opposition, I got a word from my master. He said, untie me, untie my future, untie my purpose, untie my gifts, untie my ministry. The Bible says that they asked, why are you untying the colt? They never saw the colt's potential. And let me tell you, opposition will never see your potential. That's why I'm so grateful to God every time I stand and I preach, whether it's in Spanish or in English, because I know, listen, my parents moved about 3 times from New York to Puerto Rico. I did elementary school in New York. I did elementary school in Puerto Rico. I did middle school in New York. I did middle school in Puerto Rico. I did high school in New York. I did. Every time I would be backward. I mean, every time I would go to a class, I was the strange kid. Here I am. I didn't know how to speak Spanish at the beginning, but here I am. I was in Puerto Rico trying to learn Spanish. Then just about when I was getting a hold of the Spanish language, now my parents went back to New York City. I was bad in grammar. I couldn't write. I couldn't speak well. But let me tell you, none of that helped me back. I knew God had called me to ministry. I knew that God had placed his hand upon my life. I can tell you, you have to face opposition. Doesn't matter whether it's language, whether it's education, once you are in God's hand, God can use you in ministry for his kingdom and his purpose. I don't believe it. How many believe with me? Gloria a Dios. Gloria a Dios. Hallelujah. The fourth thing you have to do, the Bible says that when they were asked, why are you untying the colt? They said, because the master needs it. Whenever you are undecided about your future, tell your future what God has said. Your future is not your idea. Your destiny is not your idea. So say what the one who gave you your future said. Just repeat what he said. Let me tell you, you will encounter opposition. Don't argue with your crisis. Just tell your crisis what God is saying. Don't argue with the limitation. Don't argue with your problem. Don't argue with your sickness. Just say what he says. I am free. I am healed. I'm delivered. I'm a new creation. I'm going to graduate from CBC. It doesn't matter what other people are saying. I'm just going to tell my crisis what he says. He has a purpose. I'm going to tell my future that God has a purpose in my life. Hallelujah. But pastor, but Brother Nino, you don't understand. My present don't have any money. Okay, but your future does. You don't understand, pastor, what I'm going through or what I went through last year. Yeah, you're stuck on Betfage, which means unripe figs, unripe fruits. But let me tell you, there is a harvest waiting for you out there. There are souls out there waiting for you, young people. There are opportunities of ministry like never before in our lifetime. There is something to do out there. So in the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, don't get stuck in the problem. Just tell the problem, the Lord says I'm going to be free. The Lord says I'm going to be used. And in the name of Jesus, I will be free. I will be used. Let me finish with this. The Bible says that when they left the colt go, they took him to Jesus. And you know what happened? Jesus sat on him. Jesus called the donkey from a small, unrecognized, local, nobody know, anonymous place. And Jesus called him to a place, to a larger context. You might be anonymous today for a lot of people around you, but let me tell you, God knows who you are. You might be unnoticed today, but let me tell you, all you need to tell the Lord is, Lord, I'm not staying stuck. I'm not staying behind. I'm not going to be just being here. I'm going to be used by God. That cult was called to become international. From a little town, from a little crossroad between Bethphage and Bethany. Now that colt was going to be marching through the streets of Jerusalem. And on top of him, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And let me tell you, it makes a big difference when Jesus calls you. It makes a big difference when God has a hold of your life. It makes a big difference when Jesus takes control of your life. When you move to your place of purpose, people will see Christ in your life. Oh, hallelujah. And you can just see that cult just walking through the streets of Jerusalem and everybody applauding. But let me tell you, there was something else behind, besides that cult. It was that Jesus was on top of that cult. It was His presence. And let me tell you, people will see Christ in your life once you're delivered. Once you know that you've been untied. Once you know that you have given your life to Christ. People will see Christ in you. People will see a new life in you. People will glorify Christ in you. So this morning, my challenge to you is, oh, untie me. My destiny is waiting. Would you stand with me this morning and just make it the cry this morning? Just say, Lord, Lord, I need to be released. I need freedom, Lord. I know You have called me. I know there's a ministry out there waiting for me. Let me tell you, just say, untie me. Tell the person next to you, untie me. My destiny is waiting. My ministry is waiting. My future is waiting.